Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
You see in the book of Deuteronomy, God speaking about teaching your children these things when you are sitting down, when you are walking by the way. But the challenge is that most of the time, the children don't see godly example from those who are their parents. The proper thing should have been that parents should disciple their children. That's the proper thing. But sadly, for most people, it is not like that. In fact, when these children, in their innocence, when they have questions about God and holy things and all that, most of the time the parents don't even have time to answer them. My daughter is 7, and she asks me all these kind of questions every day. And even when I'm tired, I try as much as possible not to shut her down, to answer in the best possible ways I can, and to also live an exemplary life, so that it's natural that you desire such a life. When they ask for things, I tell them to pray and ask God to provide. Okay, so that is the method. It's just that natural same way of relating with them. And naturally they grow into it. They grow into children who fear God, who respect Him, and who have been converted at one point or the other in the different conversations with their parents about God. That's the way to go about it. Question from the things we learned.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When you were preaching, you said if a sinner is in the midst of a brethren, as in a church, that the presence of God cannot be there. So I just want to find out, my question is, are you saying that if there is a sinner in our midst here, that the presence of God will not be here with us? So that is just my question.
A round of applause. Very strong question. I'll give you two scriptures. The way church is structured now, sinners are not visitors. And that's a problem. Am I right? You understand what I'm saying? Sinners are church members. And there's no how God can be involved in that kind of arrangement. Do you understand? If the sinner was visiting, no problem. An unbeliever could visit. And in the course of the word of God going or ministrations, whether it's drama or song or whatever, God could touch him. Particularly if it was God who brought him. It becomes a problem when a sinner is disguised as a saint, but is a sinner. Do you understand? One scripture from the Old Testament, one from the New. Do you remember the story of Achan in Joshua chapter 7? How many people sinned in that matter? Achan alone. How many people paid the price for his sin? Several people. Do you understand now? So God, because of the kind of person God is, He constantly wants those who lead to ensure to the best of their ability, not only are they expected to teach aright, they are expected to live and lead aright. Do you understand? Such that even if somebody wants to pretend being a sinner, his sin will be on his own head alone. Do you understand now? But in a situation where half of the choir are sinful people, and even the pastorate knows, all the instrumentalists, they also play at nightclubs, and everybody knows. Speaking board, people are fighting amongst themselves, and the pastor knows, but he's careful because he doesn't want to offend anybody. Such a church is compromised. The Spirit of God cannot have a free flow in that kind of place. Do you understand now? Now, in the New Testament, the Bible says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So just something that is tiny, that is fleshy, that is evil and is not dealt with as soon as it is noticed, so that we can do everything to ensure that we keep God's presence. When we don't do that, the whole lump becomes contaminated. You know, yeast is used to make dough that is used to make bread, rice, and they use just a little. Okay, so because yeast is, you know, yeast is germs, except that it is healthy germs that is edible. Okay, but in the Bible, it is used to symbolize things that are unclean. That's how you see the Israelites eating what you call unleavened bread. That is bread that they didn't use yeast to make. Okay, so yeast in that regard is used to it for things like sin, flesh, and the rest of them. But that's why I say a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So when you allow just a little contamination, what happens to the entire church? It's contaminated. That's what I'm trying to say. Questions from what we learned? Yes, ma'am. She has a question on the back. No, ma'am, it's okay there. You don't have to come. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for coming to this meeting. Because since I've been sitting down here, I'm the oldest woman. But I thank God, I want to gain something. Anywhere that youth, they are holding meeting there, I used to grab something there. Nobody is too old to learn. I want to talk about the children. These children, at the age of 2 or 3, anything you are practicing in their presence, they are learning it. That you get me. If you say, I'm not around, when you want to go out, you tell them the same thing they will repeat, that mommy is, because you are teaching them how to tell lies. That you get me. You are not sleeping. You said, when somebody come, you are sleeping. Then, that is number one. Then number two, I will advise the mothers and the father to listen to the children. Anything they want to say, listen to them and answer them in a God's way. Secondly, again, these children, they will be looking at you. Parents, if you are fighting, you are beating each other. I'm sorry to, I just want to say this thing really. I know that I won't take your time. When you, the parents, the father and mother, they are fighting, they'll be looking at you too. Anything you are practicing within them, they will be following it. So I advise you that anything you are doing in the presence of these children, please, let's do it well. And second, congratulate you, all the youth here. Because when I was young, nobody to teach us all these things. As you come here, you are the luckiest girl or either girl or boy or man, you call yourself. Because you learn from God's distinct. Nobody is teaching us all this one. So the foundation is very important as a youth. Please, you listen to all these things and we put it in practice. God will help us.
Mommy, thank you, Mom. You have a question? Okay, go ahead. Thank you, Mom. God bless you, Mom.
Sir, lesson we learned on Thursday and yesterday, I found out that some of the things that God is asking us to, that is showing us, for me as a person, it is not normal for my human mind or for me as a human being to just accept it or believe it, because there's this assurance I have more in my physical strength and the kind of maybe the struggles and effort that I put into daily things I do. And the kind of faith that I should have in God's word. I found out that, because yesterday when I was reflecting on the things that I've been taught, I found out that that faith is not as strong in God's word, which is the secret of all of these things that we have been told. But my physical effort, the things I do, maybe my running around and all of that, assurance I have in it more than God's word. And I know it's dangerous. I want you to use your person.
Well, the answer is not hidden. And the reason why the answer is not hidden is this. It is my prayer that we will learn dependence on God early. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Most of the time, what God rejects is what man attempts to do. God does not want you to struggle to try to please Him. He wants to just do one thing. Have faith in what He has said. And walk accordingly. That's all. And that's what makes Christianity so simple. Now, for those of us who dwell in this side of the world, precisely Yoruba people, because we are so given to idolatry and to the need to do something, we don't consider we have done anything if we just simply believe and act on the basis of that belief. Do you understand? We want to add human effort and all of this. And the moment you are adding those things, it becomes something that is cancelled before God. Because that's not God's way. Let me give you a few examples. Maybe now you think that the way you'll be righteous is that you must read your Bible every day, you must fast, you must pray, and when you pray, you must pray for 2 hours daily. Is it bad? No, there's not. You'll notice there's even nothing wrong with it. But what happens when it is your prayer time and God says, no, it's not time to pray, let us talk. And then since it's your prayer time, what must you do? You must pray. But that's how you have been doing your religion all this while. Even if you are praying in Jesus' name, even if you are speaking in tongues, will it be acceptable? Why? Because you are too rigid. You are too fixed. Do you understand it now? It's not what you are trying to do that God wants. He just simply wants you to respond to what He's saying. You understand? And when you begin to respond to what He's saying, you find out that serving God is simpler than you have ever thought it is. Let me give you a secret. I have never fasted the way most preachers fast. I'm not saying I don't fast. I do. But you know the way people go on maybe 1 month, 40 days. I've never done it before in my life. I'm not planning to do it till I die. Except the Lord says I should. Do you understand? And not because I love food. But I've seen men boast with those things. As if that is the ground of their assurance. And as if that is the confidence they have that God will accept what they are doing. You understand? I've only followed the simpler method. What's that simpler method? I see the word of God say something and I just simply obey it. And that's how I've grown all these years and that's how I've been like this. You understand? I do not try to force something on God. I just simply respond to the demands He makes in His word. That's all. That's what I want you to do. Okay? Even in your work, I always, when I have the opportunity, I tell women, you think you know how to cook. Ask the Lord to cook with you. You will see you don't know how to cook. For it will taste far better than how you used to cook. For whatever the Lord does, it will be perfect. So, in your job that you struggle to do, ask Him to work with you. I do that in the things I do. And what is shocking is that the result is always far better. I'm more superior and more excellent than when I do it on what I know how to do. That's why I want to answer it. Respond to what God is saying. instead of reacting based on what you think God will accept. Just respond to his instructions. Respond to the path that he has laid down. That's the answer.
Sorry,
you have a question? Okay, after you, Sister Tutu, go ahead.
Does it affect my, some, I have been dependent on God now? I want to be sure. Does it really deal with my lack of interest in studying my Bible or even to pray?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
There's this lack of interest. You want to study the Bible, but there is this reluctancy towards the Bible, and that was actually what brought the first question. Now, because there is reluctance in towards studying the Bible and all of that, you feel that, let me just go the other way.
What kind of reluctance are you talking about? Are you talking about you want to study the Bible, you tell yourself I'll do it later, or you don't even want to carry the Bible at all? Which one?
No, that I will do it later, trying to postpone.
Because there are two different forms of reluctance, and there's what each one means. That's what I'm asking you. Which one is your own? If it is that you don't want to touch the Bible at all, I know that's not what you said. It's because there's sin in your life. If it is reluctance, it's a form of spiritual pride. You can't say, I will do it later. You are only saying, I will do it later because you think you already have enough. You understand? And I need you to know that the body will not want you to study your Bible. Okay? But since your life depends on it, even for your Bible study, you must fight. What did I say? Don't think a time will come when, you know, Bible study will just be easy and you want to be doing it. No, there's a devil now. You understand? There's a devil. And you can even hide under the fact that, you know, we are the ones that organize this meeting. The work of God must go on. And you will not study your Bible. What God talks to me about for my own life has nothing to do with what I'm preaching here. I mean my daily Bible study. It's not the same thing. And I must do that for me to be fed. Do you understand what I'm saying? I as a person must do that so that if I want to be fed. What is wrong with most ministers that they don't study the Bible for their souls? Because they preach the Bible, they think they're above it. And that's why they run into trouble. Okay? So it won't be easy, but you must have the discipline to tell yourself, I must study. I must pray. I must meditate in the Word of God. You are the one that will tell yourself, I have to do it, and be disciplined enough to do it. That's the answer. Did you hear a question? They didn't hear your question, so you have to repeat
it. Okay, I said about the Book of Destiny.
Please, are you hearing now?
Now, he said that there's something written concerning everybody. Now, I'm asking that. What happens to somebody that has about 70 years, and you've spent 30 years of your life for digging and doing whatever it is you were doing, and then you now come back to God? How do you make up for those lost years?
A round of applause. Very, very strong question. My first response is this. May you respond early in Jesus' name. Purpose is tied to time. Life is tied to time. If you come at 30, it's not that you're not late. You're late. Someone like the Apostle Paul came late. Okay? The only thing you can do if you came in late is that you have to work harder so that you can meet up. Okay? But it would have been better if you came in early. That way, even if you are making all your mistakes, it's still within the time of making mistakes and growing up. Do you understand? But a point in time will come when it's too late. Not that it's too late to be saved. Do you understand? But as far as purpose is concerned, you may not be able to meet up anymore. Let me give you an example in the Bible. The young man who became an old man, Jacob. Jacob spent 21 years sleeping with four women, and they did roaster for him, and eating four different meals per meal. Of course, by the time it was time to go back and to start working in the things God wanted him to do, He was already too old. I mean, when he returned back to Bethel. You remember that was after his return to Bethel, years after, that he came to appear before Pharaoh. Do you remember? Do you know the first question Pharaoh asked him? Somebody is meeting for the first time. He said, how old are you? Because the Bible says that, and they brought in Jacob and set him before Pharaoh. You don't even upset him. They have to carry the hand, carry the leg, make him see some. So Pharaoh was one. So old that they have to arrange you like this. You understand? So when he asked him how old are you, two understood that he wasn't insulting him. But he remembered how he had wasted his years. You understand? And so he responded based on the thing that Pharaoh asked. That he said, the years of my pilgrimage upon the earth has been so amount of years. He said, few and evil have they been. They have not reached the years of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And then he prayed for Pharaoh. They unset him again and arrange him out. When the Bible was speaking in the book of Hebrews 11 about what people achieved by faith, you know what they wrote concerning him? They said, by faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph and he worshipped God leaning on his staff. You understand? So, no matter how old anybody is here, when is the time for you to respond? Eh? When? There's something about God. There's mercy in God. We have few people in scriptures, few, there are actually very few, who were called in old age, or whose purpose was reserved until their years have been spent. Look at Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah. Do you remember them? The father and mother of John the Baptist. They were old before the fullness of what God wanted them to do came to fruition. Okay? Same thing with Abraham, who was called at 75. Same thing with Moses, who responded only when he was 80. You understand now? So, if one responds on time, who knows what is the purpose of God for each one? You understand? But what is important is that response. But I see most of the time, what most of us do is, we postpone that response until time now goes completely. And one is not useful for any other thing else other than to wait to die and then go to heaven. Okay? May you not be a spectator when we get there in Jesus' name. May what is written concerning you be what you live for in the name of Jesus. Amen. Questions?
Sir,
your second question.
Yes, sir. For example, there are times people come to me at my place of work and they need to probably search for a file. You know, file.
A file.
Yes. Maybe of somebody that, a pupil that graduated years and I just joined the place 2 years ago. And now probably when they come, I'm busy working at something, and then they tell me, please, I need a file. And I think my question is on giving your word being your bond. Now, I tell them, okay, I'll help you look for this file, or maybe you can come back. After some time, somehow, I just get to forget, and I don't get to look for the file. And now, when they come, I tell them, I'll still help you look for it. And there are times I don't even go back to looking for the file. And maybe eventually, then I'll tell them, somehow, maybe I'll just go to the, if I eventually go there, I'll just check and scantily and then go back and tell them, I'm sorry, I couldn't find the file. Because it's quite a large number of files, and going through all that, the school is like 20 years, and you can't expect me to. So in that situation, yes, what am I expected to do? So that every time I give my advocacy, and most times when it happens, I feel like I think I've cheated this person, or I could have done it this way. So that's what.
Okay, because this case is peculiar, I want to treat it peculiarly. In your school, can they be authorized to check through the files instead of you doing it?
Who?
These teachers or whatever that's
parents,
asking you.
Not
oh, it's
teachers,
parents.
Yes.
Okay. I expect.
If the child needs admission and then they ask to come. There's no way I can give you the certificate. I need to check through your file. and then before I can actually, that is, and it's a long process.
Okay.
Something longer.
Is it that it's not arranged properly?
No.
Okay, so what you need to do is to, I don't know if you have an assistant, maybe a clerk or secretary or something. Eh? Instruct the secretary to arrange properly, year by year. Do you understand? So whenever church people come,
it would have been easier if they all had maybe admission number. You know, there's a way.
No, they don't need admission number. If you do it according to year, it will be easier. That's what I'm saying. So if the child is 1992, for instance, if the files of everybody in 1992 have been put together in one place, it's easy to just go there and take out. Why it's difficult is because it's disorganized and it's a waste of time if you have to do it. But that's what you have assistants for. So that you don't get to do what an assistant can help you to do. Do you understand? Now I'm answering peculiarly because this is a peculiar case. Okay? Normally, whenever we give our word, it's a matter of honor. And honestly speaking, how holy you are many times depends on how much you value your own words and how people see your word when you speak. Do you understand? And that's why the Bible says, in many things you offend, okay? But he that is able to bridle his tongue is a perfect man. You understand? So that's what you should do. Have your secretary arrange everything. So that way it makes it easier whenever people come.
Those that are told that, I'm sorry, I couldn't find.
Ask God to forgive you because it's not one of them that you can reach. God will forgive you on it. The time of ignorance, God has winked at. He commands everyone everywhere now to repent. Okay, things you've done in the past when you didn't know what to do will not be held against you. Now you know what to do. If you don't do the right thing now, that's when it becomes a very, very serious offense. Questions from what we learned today? Okay, it seems that's all the questions. Brother Shegun. Okay.
My first question. My first question is on waiting on the Holy Spirit at us.
Okay.
Rapture.
How does it that relate?
I'm not so prompt in waiting on the Holy Spirit. Things with the Holy Spirit. My preparation for rapture. That's the first question.
Okay, it's quite straightforward and it's quite simple. Preparation for the rapture or for the kingdom of God is not a thing that you do. I'm looking for that word. It's not a thing that you tell yourself, hey, now I want to start preparing. Do you understand? First of all, you don't know when Jesus is coming. So it's the day-to-day walking with God. And the constant checking on his promises that keeps us watchful and expectant. Do you understand? So what am I saying? It is more important to wait daily upon the Holy Spirit, depending on him, for that's what makes you spiritual. When you do that, it's easier that you remember that Jesus will come. He will remind you of the words of Jesus, Abby. But if you're not dependent upon the Holy Spirit for other things, and then you now suddenly want to be waiting for the coming of Jesus, even you know that it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. You understand? Because you haven't even known how to walk with God in other matters and in other areas of day-to-day life. How then will you prepare for an event that you don't even know when it will happen? It is the day-to-day living that prepares you, okay, for whenever Christ will come. What if he comes in the middle of the night when you are sleeping? It didn't occur to you that that could happen. So it's a day-to-day walking with the Holy Spirit and being in the Spirit, okay, that takes care of his coming. If one has been in the Spirit, That's where you'll be also on the day that it comes. But that's how you daily live your life. That's the answer.
My second question is on our attitude towards grace when we are saved. It determines our reward eternally. So I'm looking at it that sometimes one can feel that you are not being, and if I use the word engraced, that means you are not being given grace. Maybe I come for this meeting and these words I'm hearing, I don't know that it is grace that has come to me. Maybe I don't know that it's grace even a godly friend to me. I don't know that it's grace that a fellowship, a door has been given to me. I don't know that it's grace. So if I don't understand that, how will I be able to treat grace? And sometimes we don't understand even what grace is.
So the answer is that we need to understand what grace is. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm
answering you. Because if you don't understand what grace is there any point? You understand? So the very first thing is that we need to understand what is even grace. It is God's help and His assistance when I need it, where I need it, to the extent that I need it. Grace is God working in me both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. You understand? So, without understanding that there's already grace for me to make it home, I will not appropriate that grace. So, what you need to understand, first of all, is that there's grace. You can make it home. Are you getting it now? That's the first thing you need to understand. How? By grace. Through faith. Have I answered your question?
Okay, I'm now looking at that. For someone like me that used some of my life to,
before everybody now. Let's say the question.
As in some of my life,
that you have wasted.
Not properly invested should be a good word.
It's the same thing.
So now, if we're looking at it, okay, you have work to do.
Don't say you, Joshua. You'll be confusing me. It'll be like you are preaching.
I have work to do.
So now it's a question. Okay.
Now I have work to do. Sometimes, maybe you are tired.
You are raising you again.
I'm tired, and or sometimes maybe you don't even know that it is grace that something, maybe a thought, you don't know that it's grace that has been released or something. And sometimes you don't even know that grace is waiting for you, just a prayer away. So sometimes all those things, and one is going to judge by the grace that is given.
Yes.
So that means what I'm thinking is that I can do everything God is asking me to do by the grace of God.
You are correct. It doesn't matter how tired I am. The problem is we don't know when to appropriate and apply grace.
Okay.
Grace is not what will make you stand up when you say you are tired. Grace is activated when you stand up, even though you are tired. Do you understand it now? That's what you do. Grace is not God will give me that song. Grace, because grace must always work through faith. Do you understand? It is faith that makes you stand up even though you are tired. And then what happens? Grace comes. You've been in meetings where I want to preach and I'll tell you I'm very tired, but pray that God will give me strength. Have you not seen it happen in those meetings? You understand? We've been in meetings where I tell you that God has not sent His word. Let us pray that God will send us a word. And then, as we stand there, God will send the word. You understand? So instead of lying down there and saying, oh God, see how tired I am. Stand up by faith. Grace will be activated. Do you understand? Same thing with forgiveness. If, let's say, people offend you and it's so difficult to forgive them, all of that. Forgive by faith. And what happens? The grace for all the hurt to pay will come. For whatsoever that is out of faith is a sin. Do you understand now? So, if you have so much to do and many times you can't feel like you can do it, Paul said, I will boast in my weakness so that God's strength will come upon me. Don't forget, grace is that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It's a statement of faith, but it's the action of grace. Do you understand now? Huh? That's the answer. And that's how to continue and you not waste time again. Okay. Do you have a question? Okay, Brother Olawi has a question. Then Sister Charity has a question.
Praise the Lord. So my question, as now to take it from dependence on God and the payment of bills.
And the payment?
And I want to relate it with the payment of bills.
Payment of bills. Oh, okay. Yes. Payment of bills.
So, it's a consequence of not responding early. These are one of the things that we should have known earlier in life.
Yes.
So, my question now is, how can it become a lifestyle?
A round of applause. I think that's a very serious question. Very, very serious. How can I depend on God in the payment of my bills? Do you understand? I have bills to pay. I have house rent. I have school fees. I need to buy food. I need to pay NEPA. Are you getting it now? How can I depend on God? Most people depend on the day salary will be paid. So it's only when, most of the time, when salary is not paid on that date, wahala will now start. Okay? Or maybe your business is not the kind that it's a fixed salary and all that. The first thing I want to say is this, and it will sound irresponsible, but I will explain. Do you understand? The payment of your bills is not your business. What did I say? You know, I told you to sound irresponsible and to sound confused, but I will explain. I promise you I will explain. But I need you to swallow it. Agree with it. First of all. Okay? Why is it that the payment of my bills is not my responsibility? It is because I did not make myself. Why is it? I didn't make myself. God made me. And he made me for a reason. Okay? Now, if I choose that I will live for God, God will pick my bills. That's the second thing I want to say. Because I could either live for myself, or I could live for who? God. If I live for myself, I have to pay my own bills. But if I live for God, for what he wants me to live for, even when I don't understand it yet, okay? If I tell myself I want to serve God with my life, I will do whatever he's asking me to do. And I go to work, come back, and all of that. When you have, I'll tell you how your bills will be paid, okay? But that's the second thing I want you to agree with. That I will not live for myself. I will live for God. Or in other words, I will not serve myself. I will serve God. Okay? Now, how then, having said those two things, because those two things must be the foundation upon which you can draw from the account of heaven. Please, do you understand? If you don't understand that it is irresponsibility on behalf of a parent not to provide for his child, imagine that my son or my daughter goes to be buying one milk can of rice, then one milk can of beans, so that she will not be hungry, and she lives under my roof. Is it not an insult to me? If I discover where she has kept those junks, because they will be junks, will I not feel insulted and say, why didn't you ask me for what you want? But you see, this independence from God, that's always the problem. And that's why men will want to have enough money stacked up somewhere so that they will never need God. That's why. That's what it's all about. You understand? But it's more beautiful to have an endless account that you can draw from. Whether what you need is 2 million or 200 naira, both will come if you know how to ask God, okay? Than struggling to pile it up and load it somewhere where it can even be stolen. Do you understand? Now, how do I have my needs met? When the bill comes to your attention. E.g., NEPA has brought their bill. Instead of your mind quickly running to the account where millions are, present your needs constantly before God. It's a mark of humility. It's a mark of what? Even when you think you have the money, because the money that you think you have in the bank does not belong to you. Who does it belong to? It belongs to God. I didn't say bring it to church or bring it to man of God. I said it belongs to who? God. For the sanity that makes you to remember your name, who gave it? Or you let God put price on it. Let's say we are paying 2 million naira per month on memory, retention of memory. I'm sure some of us would have gotten amnesia, have we? Because we won't be able to pay. Memory and sanity are not the same. Are they the same? Sanity is that you are okay, so you are able to know and do things in a sane manner. We don't pay for sanity. We don't pay for good health. We don't pay for emotional health. We don't pay for anything. So really, the very life, is it your own? If God calls for the life now, will you still be alive? The answer is no. So really, everything belongs to God. So how do we do it daily? Independence upon God. Whatever bill comes, put it on the Lord. Even when you think you have the money in your pocket, let him have the first honor of telling you, okay, take it from this place. That's why most of us don't hear God about give money to this person or give money to that person. Because before the money lands safe, there are like 200 plans on the money. I say, why should I give that? I know I suffered before I got it. You understand? But if you put all your bills on God, as he said, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. When you've prayed about it, that you have prayed doesn't mean you see money, that money will ever, everyone will open, money will fall down. No. Whenever you remember the issue, if it's not yet time, thank God, because you know you have asked him and he has answered you because you are his child. And because you know that at the point of that need, what will happen now? God will make provisions for it. That's how to live in contentment. I want to assure you, at the point of that need, what will happen? Provision will come. I've lived like that now for, I don't even know the number of years. One day, I needed 150 to cut my hair. Okay? And I needed 200,000 at the time to pay my rent. And I asked God for both. Do you know 150 to cut hair came? The same day, money to pay for the rent came. It was so beautiful. To know that you don't have to carry all this burden alone. That's why men age. And that's why they are constantly snappy. Put up that light. Who put on the gas? Why are you wasting gas? Well, that's why. Because it's the one pain. My wife knows when she comes and says, food has finished in the house. The next thing I say automatically is, God will provide. Mommy, I see your hand. No problem. You will speak. God will provide. Are you getting it now? That you have a job doesn't mean you have work. What did I say? Man is not meant to run up and down looking for food. If man does what God asks him to do, God will provide for his every need. I have found it to be so. And I've worked with him these 20 years. I have found it in every case to be so. Do you understand? That's how to have your needs met. Depend on God for all things. Not just monetary things. Please, that's important. Depend on God for how many things? There are many of you here that I'm depending on God for you. There are prayers I've prayed about you. And I'm trusting in God that he will answer me about it. When they were doing prayers today, I was happy. So I was dancing before God. I go, please, so this thing I told you about, don't forget to. You understand? If it's only money you depend on God for, you'll be so frustrated. Because you think that all that God is for is an ATM machine. You understand? But when you depend on him for things that are not monetary, things that money cannot solve, and you see him help you, it's easy for you, like David, to say, the Lord God who delivered me from the hand of the bear and delivered me from the hand of the lion, he will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine also. You understand? It is on the basis of previous testimonies, okay, that we are encouraged to have fresh faith in God for what we need him to do for us. That's the answer. I see your hand. I see mommy's hand also. Let mommy start first. I see your hand. Let us start first. Then maybe you want to add to our question. God will defeat money in this place today in Jesus' name.
Hello. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to add to his question for what you have been saying.
Okay.
You know, my age, I've experienced so many things.
Yes.
Because we should not depend on human being. We should depend on God.
Yes.
2 weeks, I wanted to do the wedding of my son, that Shegun. Their own side, they have money. They said we should do this Asho Ebi. I said, I can't do it because if I bring the Asho Ebi to my people, they might not be have the money to pay. I just be on my own. So, who believe, brethren, that 1 month, 3 weeks to the wedding, have not have one kobo? Where we are going to do this wedding is a place where they are paying 1 million plus. And I was inviting so many people. Even my son told me, say, Mama, kin mo fe fun won je money gbogbo edowo Olorun. I can't sleep. At times I sit down, I look unto God. God, help me. Then I ask myself, as I'm not sleeping, does this solve the problem?
No.
2 weeks to the wedding, I went to the church. I told one of my, sister. He said, do you give the invitation card to your... No, I asked the wife. He said, Mommy, my husband did not even tell me at all. Say, I'm sorry. That very day, the lady gave me 20,000 check, which I don't even expect. The moment, that very day, one of my brother came from Seme. He said, Mom, auntie is in my house now. I quickly go there. He brought one bag of rice. He brought one carton of wine. Some people, within 2 days, 50 ororo, fish. Everything. Some give me, even one of my brother wanted to give me a rice. I said, no, I have enough rice. I have 2 bags. Instead of that, give me money. To cut the story short, within 2 weeks, because a second is too much for God to change the life of our this thing. So, if it depends on God, he will do miracles. He will do wonders in our life. All those people that don't even expect, they are just giving me the money.
And if you are going to beg them,
I didn't even go to anybody. Some give me onion, this and that. I don't have up to 1,000. And I think I spent almost about 300,000 without giving me kobo. Without even saying, I didn't borrow because I vowed that any of my children that want to do wedding, I will never, never borrow kobo. Because immediately when you are doing it, all these things you are preparing for more than 6 months is only 6 hours that everything will finish. And where you are here at the reception, those people will be asking you for the money you owe them before you pack the chair. So, Please, brethren, cut your coat according to your cloth.
A round of applause. Mommy, thank you. God bless you. 2 weeks. And then everything starts to show up. Somebody else was raising their hand. I think it's Charity. Was it close to the same question or separate? Is your own close to the same question? It's separate. Okay, let Mr. Charity go first, then we'll come to you.
And the thing that will help us to go close to God, since the beginning of the meeting, you have been talking about sin, consequences of sin, and the things that separate us, and things that will bring us close to God. I want to ask. You said something that all of us here in this place, we are not in the same stage of spiritual growth. Your level of growth is different from mine, and mine is different from every other person. So I want to ask, in this process, there are many of us like me, we still have things that we are like trusting God, that, Lord, I want to drop this thing. And we are still trusting God for God to help us to drop all the things that are like holding us back, not making us grow, not making us to come closer. So my question is, in this process, because we don't know when the time, the hour that Christ is coming, and even though he's not coming now, and you may just sleep one day and not wake up, or you just walk on the road, so many things like that. So I want to ask, in this process now, when you know that there are some things you need to work on, and there are things you need to drop, and then you are still trusting God that, Lord, I'm trusting you for you to help me to drop this thing. And then the trumpet sound, or maybe you sleep and you don't wake up. What will now happen to us?
You are going to clap, clap now. Huh? The answer to the question is, I have 3 children. 1 is 2 going to 3. The other is 4 going to 5. 1 is 7. Are they at the same level? Are they all my children? Do you understand now? Have I answered your question? Do I relate with them the same way? I relate with each one in his own peculiar way and nature, and the way he is, or the way she is. If you are genuinely a child of God, and God knows that, yes, you have things you are working on, but you are serious about working on them, it doesn't matter. If he comes, you are going. It is when you know you have things to work on, and say, well, God will help us, then you don't. You see, the attitude itself shows that you have no plan to work on anything. That's when you have a problem. Are you getting it now? But as long as you know there are things to work on, and you are doing your best to work on them, trusting in God to help you, you don't have any problem. When it comes, you go. Okay? That's the meaning of the fact that we are not all at the same level. But this other side I didn't say is that God also does not relate with each of us the same way. He relates with each of us in the unique and specific way that we are. And so we find out that we don't have one way of praying. I mean, even Christians. Some prefer to kneel down before they pray. Some, it will just stand up. Okay? You have to find the one that works for you. But he wants you to be yourself. He doesn't want you to copy anybody. Okay? That's the answer. Yes.
You're trusting God for something. You're trusting God for stuff in the house. Okay? And somebody now happens, if your client now pays you money and you now use it. My sister,
somebody always pays you money.
Yes, maybe a client, somebody bought something and pays you.
Okay.
Anytime I now use the money, so my sister is always rebuking me. We are waiting on God to supply. Somebody just pay you now, you are using the money to buy, I'm not supposed to be doing that. Is it wrong?
Is the money that you use, did you borrow it?
No. It's my money that
it's somebody your money
paid.
That somebody paid.
Yes.
That came in during the period of time when you were praying and waiting.
So she's like saying, no, that I mustn't be using all the money. Like, I'm always paying off that.
Okay.
One, because I have money coming. I just and solve the need that it ought not to be. So I want to ask you.
Well, it can be one of two ways, really. You understand? It can be that she's right, but she can also be wrong. You understand? Most of the time, when we don't have a culture of asking God, this fund that is coming, what is it for? It can be, that may be the angle she's talking from. But she could also be talking religiously. Like even when we have prayed and we are waiting, and one way or the other, something we're not expecting came in, you know, and we want to deploy it. You're still waiting. No, we're still waiting on God. Maybe an angel will bring food stuff or money. Are you getting it now? So she could be right, she'd be wrong, she could be wrong. Depending on the attitude you have or your disposition to when funds come, do you wait on God to ask him what are you supposed to use this for? So that way, even in issues of money, you are being a good steward. Uh-huh. You know, so that's the way it is. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. May his face shine upon you.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 080-833-8538, 080-813-8536, 081-409-9127, 081-409-9321. Or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said, and there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?